Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Lisa Woodruff. And Lisa is a professional organizer, author and founder and CEO of Organize 365. She's also a mother, teacher, motivational speaker, and entrepreneur. And Lisa understands firsthand the overwhelmingness of filling multiple roles and how difficult it can be to keep everything organized. Believing that organization is a learned skill, she began developing strategies for home and paper organization, pushing past barriers and leading to a more productive life. Today, she empowers thousands of women through her blog, books, podcasts, and speaking events. Lisa loves to discuss tips on how to reduce the overwhelm and clear mental clutter, reclaim the time you've lost, and for each woman to focus on family, creativity, and new adventures. So welcome, Lisa. So tell us more about what got you into the works that you do. And I mean, gosh, organization, especially with ADHD and being a woman who just wears so many roles and multiple hats, it's like, how do we feel like all over the place, but yet at the same place and feel like we're keeping our peace and our sanity and everything internal to match our external?
Yes. So I think that, you know, I'm 52 now and I have been interested in organization since I was like a 2-year-old little girl. Like I've always loved to organize spaces and things and put like items with like items. I like jigsaw puzzles. As a babysitter, I would organize the houses of the houses I babysat at. And then as a teacher, I would organize my classroom and my colleagues' classroom. And then as a stay-at-home mom, I would go on play dates and I would organize my friends' pantries while the kids played. And so I've just always been interested in organizing spaces. However, in my mid-30s, my parents got divorced and then my father got sick and passed away. And I was the executor of the estate. And then we had to sell our family home. Our kids ran into some extra challenges that took just a lot of time and money. And I found myself being pulled in so many different directions. And the organizational skill set that I had up until 35 did not support me from 35 to 40. And so at 39 in January, I quit my teaching job. I was about to turn 40. And I was like, how do I get organized in this next season of life? How do I start a business that will be flexible so that I can be available for my family and yet make an impact on the world? And that was 12 years ago. And so I started Organize 365, doing in-home organizing and selling a direct selling product and starting a blog. 3 years later, I realized that organization was a learnable skill. So I started my podcast. And then 3 years later, I started manufacturing basically school supplies or office supplies for household managers. Like there is no such thing. And I realized there is no training for household managers. Like every single one of us has to figure it out on our own. So I'm a school teacher. I took my school teacher principles and I was like, well, how would I teach organizing through a podcast and courses online like I did when I went in and did professional organization in people's houses? And I realized that, yes, I do have a component that will organize your spaces, but it's more the paper. And I became a paper expert, organizing ultimately binders, not file cabinets because files don't work. And also organizing all of the kitchen counter paper piles and the mental load and the projects that we have in process. So that's where the Sunday basket came from. And then I just kept pivoting and iterating and realizing like, oh, well, just like you do corporate planning, you need to do household planning. So I do 3 planning days per year. And just slowly over time, noticing what I, as I started to get organized again and productive, what was I doing? And then how could I reverse engineer it and bring people along behind me that either had never been organized or who also were running up against these roadblocks in these seasons of life or unexpected times that they went through.
Wow, that's so needed. And I love that you shared all that because it's like you see the through line, but you also saw a need for this in your own life early mm-hmm. on. And I'm jotting down a bunch of notes here because it's like, how true is it that, you know, we think that we have our home organized, but is our office organized? And then is our mind organized? And so we go through these different compartments per se, and how we're showing up in those different areas, we also realize that's just the pattern that we've been conditioned to, and it's showing up into other areas in, like you said, to your friend's house, organizing pantries, to estate organizations. Yes.
and different things, because it's a learned skill that what we do externally is a representation of our internal organization. Is that correct?
Well, yes, but also something that you said, most people have not been in as many houses as I've been in. So, you know, I'm in my family of origins houses, and they're, you know, let's say 12, 15 houses that I've been in my family. But then I was in houses when I was babysitting. I taught preschool for disadvantaged children, and we did home studies. So I've been in those houses. Then I did professional organization. I was in those houses. So I've probably been in 1,000 houses. Like, most people have been in a handful of houses, maybe a dozen houses. And how do you know how to operationalize and systematize your house when you have such a small sample size? And what if you don't have the same family composition or resources of your family of origin? Like, my kids are 23 and 24. And the hardest thing for them and the hardest thing for me in that same stage was, how do I organize my house when I'm looking at my parents who are at the height of their career, the height of their income earning, they're buying clothes from the actual store without a coupon, and I could barely buy anything, you know, at the resale shop because I'm 23. And so their level, socioeconomic status, doesn't match mine at the age of 23. And I haven't been in any other 23-year-old's home. So how do I set up house? You know what I mean? And so my parents are saying, we didn't, you know, we made spaghetti 3 times a week. But that's not your lived experience with your parents. You don't believe them. You just don't believe them.
Right. And that's so true, because it's like you can only see through your own lens and your experience. Yeah. That's a really great point. And especially as you're coming up, you know, adulting life, right? If you haven't been exposed to it, you don't know. I mean, at 23, the only houses you've probably been in are your friends and your peers, but that's not your home environment. And as a child growing up, it's just conditioned, passed on through the parents. Like, we put things here, we do this on this day. And so you take that learned experience and you're applying it to your life, but yet your life is not your parents or your friends or your peers. So how do we adapt and adopt so that we have a system in our own, quote unquote, our house, our home, whether it's home-based business or home that we're living in, doesn't really matter at this point.
Exactly. It literally doesn't exist. So what I've created this out of nothingness, and there is no, like, you can't say, oh, Organized 365 is like, there is no fill in the blank. There is no other company that has done what we have done. And so then you're like, well, if nobody's done it, then surely you don't, why would I pay for that? Like, nobody else has done, well, I don't know what to tell you, but their households aren't productive either because they have no operational system. So I'm getting my PhD right now to go all the way back into academia so that I could do research that will be put into literature to support that households were the original operational system. The Industrial Revolution took that and put that into corporations, and then the households stopped using their own systems. Like, bring it back.
Oh, that's a really great point, because if you think about it, in business, you have your SOPs. Why do we not have an SOP? We don't have an SOP when it comes to our own.
No department. So you are the CEO, COO, and CFO of your household. Mm-hmm. And the majority of my time, like when I do the Sunday basket, I'm being the CFO, and it takes 45 minutes a week. You've got a budget. You've got to pay bills. You have to do taxes. You have to argue with the insurance company. Like, nobody else is going to do it for you. You have to do meal planning, operations. But what people don't do is the CEO. They don't have a visionary. They're not doing long-range planning. They're just like living day to day, like you're still a child in your own house. Like, okay, well, it's Saturday. I guess I do the dishes and then maybe I can go play. We need to have a plan.
I'm literally thinking, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of me sometimes. It's like I have my one day. Saturday is like the household maintenance. We do.
Yeah.
Well, when I say we, it's me, because that's something I take on for myself. Now my husband has his own routine and stuff. But when it comes to those habits, those routines, how are we operating this home? Is it something that, you know, as you work through Monday through Friday and we leave that Saturday for the household chores, activities, things you have to get done? So I know for me, that was something that I dedicated that day, because trying to sprinkle and implement certain time allotments into the days per week, it wasn't conducive. But I know you're going to probably shed some light on this, and you're going to debunk my myth and my theory, right? Because I'm like, if I don't have time, that's probably every other woman's excuse as well.
So no, I do it the same way. I do all my cleaning on Saturday and I do all my planning on Sunday. And that's also what I did as a child. Here's what happens. When life starts to get complicated and you have an unexpected event, positive or negative, the amount of work in the household increases and there's no operation. There's no visibility of this work increasing because a lot of time it's cognitive load. Mm. And then even if you're living with somebody else and they say, how can I help? You don't even know how to verbalize how they can help. And then you build resentment. And then the conversation right now in the media and in academia and everywhere is women are doing more than men. It's statistically proven, and that men need to do more. And I'm like, okay, here's my analogy. I am a business owner in Cincinnati. I'm the 30th largest female-owned business in Cincinnati. And I've met with many men in Cincinnati. And I have said, I have this business, you know, I need this thing. And every single time, the man has supported me and they have said, oh, that's awesome. I can make this connection or I can make these three connections for you. And also, the next thing you're going to need is this. I could give you that introduction now or I could let you know later. And so what I say is, in Cincinnati, the men have opened the door and walked me through and told me what other doors I need to open as a businesswoman. In our households, we as women need to be able to open the door, invite the men in and say, this is all the invisible work that we are doing. Here's the system that we are running on. I would like help with this system doing this thing. Please let me know what else you would like to do. Men are not bad. They are not programmed the same way we are. We need to invite them into our home, tell them how it operates, and invite them to participate, just like the men in Cincinnati are inviting me into business to participate. There are a lot more male business owners than there are female, and so we just have to reverse.
That's a really great point, because I hadn't looked at it that way. But I like how you put that in perspective. And, okay, also taking me off the hook, because I was thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm slacking the other 5 days.
No. I like batching. Batching is way more efficient.
Oh, tell me about it.
You shouldn't always be working. You're doing it right because you should have a day. And like at the end of Saturday, if Saturday is your day, or for me, it's 4 hours. At the end of 4 hours, like if it's not done, it's not getting done till the next Saturday because, hello, I would like to relax too.
Yeah. And I think that that's so important because when we talk about organization and time management, we also have to basically buy back our time by doing something. And it's a trade-off. And that's what I think is one of the hardest things, especially for, you know, women-owned businesses, entrepreneurs, and especially those that work at home, because it's like your office is right there and that task and the to-do list will never end. So it's like, oh, well, whatever free moment we get in, I mean, are the dishes really that important or can we knock out a few emails that can, you know, propel us into the direction where we need to go in our business? So it's a trade-off, dishes or emails. I understand the importance behind it, but sometimes it takes that discipline to really say, oh, this is the end of work hours. We have obligations and duties, and those two are important, even though they might not be moving the needle in the direction. The dishes are important because we have a home, we have a family, whoever else is in the household is dependent upon having a clean home environment. And so some of those are the conversations that I've heard from so many women is that it's right there. You see the work and it has to get done. But how does that impact the family? How does that impact the dynamic of a household or an organization?
Yes. So until, 2021, I worked the whole business from home. And I made a shift. I think it was probably 2018 when I made the shift. And here's why. I had worked, so for the first 6 years in business, in the nooks and crannies of time. So I was working, getting up early and working half an hour before I would drive the kids to school and then a couple hours while they were at school and then do the after school and then work after they went to bed, just anytime I could find the time on the weekends, all during the work week. And my family said to me, you're always working. Well, what I was doing was I was driving 25 hours a week, my kids to two different schools. So that's 25 hours of driving time. So yes, while my husband was at work 25 hours, I was driving and then I was trying to get in like 10 hours. However, this is the mistake I made. I would take the kids to school and I would come home and I'd be like, okay, well, while nobody's in the house, because everybody loves an empty house, I'm just going to pick up a little bit before I get started on my work. So even if it's just 10, 15, 30 minutes, I would like make sure everything was great. And then I would sit down to work. And then they would come home from school and I would try to scurry off to do like 30 minutes of work. So when I disciplined myself that when I walked in the door, I walked right by all the mess and I went to wherever my office was and I worked until the timer went off and I got in the car and I went and got the kids, I ended up getting 2.5 to 5 hours more of work time done during school. So then when the kids and my husband were home and we're all standing in the kitchen, then I'm picking up, then I'm folding the laundry, then I'm doing the dishes. So they're watching me do what I think they thought a fairy did. I don't know how they thought the house got cleaned, but now they're watching me do it. So the work is no longer invisible because I'm making it visible right in front of them. And I'm doing more work time while they're doing their work of school and my husband's work. And yes, of course, I still was working more in the evenings and weekends because I didn't have enough work time because I had to be the taxi. But they were at least seeing me do more of the housework tasks. So that's number one. Number two, you've got to limit the amount of work that you do at home period. And you need to bucket your most important tasks. So do all your email before and after while your family's around, and do your big deep work while they're at school. If you have even that alone time in the office, like record podcasts, write the book, do the hard work while everybody else is working, reply to emails while you're watching Seinfeld or whatever. So in our house, I do dishes 3 times a week. I do them Sunday night, Wednesday night, and sometime like Friday, Saturday, usually like Saturday or Sunday morning. And there's a reason. My mother-in-law comes over for dinner on Sunday. So all the dishes are done probably Saturday night, run the dishwasher, empty it Sunday. We eat Sunday dinner. I run the dishes Sunday night. Then I do it Wednesday night because I have somebody clean my house on Thursday, so there can't be any dishes in there. Two things. Number one, if your family wants the dishes done any more often than that, they are welcome to do them. Nobody complains in our house that I'm not doing the dishes, ever, because they know I have a system for doing it. Now, I eat out a lot, and I don't eat a lot of meals from home. But yeah, I don't do the dishes 3 times a day. You don't have to do, like, I don't know who made these rules that you think there are rules. Like, when you take your mail from the mailbox into the house, you do not have to touch it only once and make sure that you declutter it on the way and recycle it as you go. This is a huge problem. If you're doing that, you're wasting way too much time and you're derailing your own agenda. So when you come home from wherever and you get your mail and you're walking in the house, I just drop it in the Sunday basket. I look at it on Sunday. But if you flip through it, let's say you were coming in the house, you were going to change the laundry, start dinner, and you needed to feed the dog. Now you've picked up the mail and you're flipping through it and you're like, oh my gosh, why are they still sending me political ads? I already know who I'm going to vote for. Or, oh, I forgot that bill is going to be due. Do I have that much money? Then you come in the house. Do you remember what you forgot? Change the laundry. And if you have a kid, that's probably their sport uniform that now you forgot. And now you're going to bed at 11 and you go, I forgot to change the laundry. Or you wake up at 3 a.m. and you remember you forgot to change the laundry because you had a plan when you pulled in the driveway. We let our environment distract us from our plan all the time. Stop that. Pretend it's a business. Run it like it's a business.
You're like hitting the nail on the head here. As you're saying all this, I'm like, man, does that sound familiar? And how our ADHD brains get wildly impulsive when we have to act on something right away. And so I'd love your take on that, because I know that, you know, the books that you have really speak about that. And, you know, obviously with organization, procrastination, things of having systems and structure and planning, those are some of the biggest challenges that I know that ADHDers have. So when you have one of your books in particular is How ADHD Affects Home Organization, can we touch upon that for a moment? Because I know a lot of our listeners are also probably very much like me, and they're like, oh, that's me. Like, watch, squirrel. Oh, the mail came in, and I know I was just passing through because I got this deadline on this thing, but all of a sudden you got to go cancel your political ads and make sure this is done. And all of a sudden now you've totally derailed your entire system, your out of alignment, and you're easily distracted. Mm-hmm. So once you get distracted once, it becomes that trail. That one goes to this one leads to that thought, and so on. And now, like you said, hours later, oh my gosh, I forgot to switch out the laundry, and everything starts spiraling out of control. How do we corral that?
So I recently was also diagnosed with ADHD, probably 6 years ago. Someone on our team said, Lisa, this would be great. You should see if you have ADHD, because then we can support that all the systems that you created are the solution and why you're so successful. My kids went to a learning disability school, and the comorbidity of ADHD with learning disabilities is really high, and especially in this school. So I learned from literally the best of the best. Cincinnati Children's Hospital in this school would bring in like the top ADHD doctors and experts that I got to learn from. And I learned a lot about ADHD. And there are 8 executive functions that ADHD are impacted. And so I was a school teacher, and I taught the at-risk students who were diagnosed with ADHD. My children had ADHD. And so I knew how to put implementation supports into schools for people who have ADHD. And I started to realize with my own children at school, at home, how I had to teach them differently about organization due to their different executive function strengths and weaknesses, and other children that I was organizing. And so I pulled all that together when I wrote the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization. Since that time, however, I have learned more, and all of those things are relevant. What I would say is ADHD is a real thing. People definitely have it. And also, my hypothesis, which I don't even know how I would test it, is that the amount that women do is superhuman. It's a ridiculous amount that is expected of us. So the fact that you get distracted by the amount of requests on your time is not necessarily ADHD. It is a byproduct of living in the modern age. The fact that your phone is dinging while a kid is asking for something and you're cooking something and you remember, oh yeah, I've got to change the laundry. I actually think that's a female superpower. I am playing with our grandson while changing the laundry and listening to my daughter when my husband asks me a question. I'm answering everybody. And he's like, you're not paying attention to me. I'm like, I know everything that's going on in this room. I just can do it. I can do it. What I find that is a challenge and how Organize 365 products support whether or not you have an ADHD diagnosis is that understanding every single request of your time or thing that you notice. So the first thing we teach you to do is to delay every single thing that can wait until Sunday till Sunday, because you already had a plan for the day. So every text message, direct message, kid request, phone call, mail thing are all distractions to your original goal. And if they can wait till Sunday, they wait till Sunday. Then what happens on Sunday, you have this time batched to go through all of the mail at one time. You make better decisions on your money. You make better decisions on your time because you're looking at all the requests on your time. You're like, I can't do all this. I want to do this one, not this one, not this one. How many times do you get a request on your time on Tuesday? You're like, well, the time's open. Okay, yes. And then something better comes on Wednesday. Or you're like, I just don't want to do anything that day, but I don't know how to say no. So I guess I'll say yes. You just say, I'll delay all those decisions till Sunday. You get to Sunday and you're like, okay, well, this is how much money we have this week. We have to buy groceries. I'm down to this much money. I had requests for my money on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. None of those are going to be granted. Or, oh, we have a windfall. I can grant all of those. And you just make better decisions and you stay on your course. But if you don't have a place to defer those decisions to, your choice is either put it on a to-do list or make the decision right now. And we default to make the decision right now because, oh my gosh, I don't even know where the three to-do lists are that I have and I'm never going to get them done. So I might as well just stop everything and answer this thing that I didn't know if I want, just so I don't have to write it on the to-do list.
Yeah, it sounds like you're having the conversation in my head. I'm also in the place where it's out of sight, out of mind.
Right. And the Sunday basket is not that way because it's all right. These, it's like vertical piles. So you can see them.
Or just call them our doom piles. We'll just deal with it on Sunday. Yes. But yeah, I find myself, it's like, okay, yes, I'll act on this on Sunday and then I'll forget that I had to go tend to that. So I act on it now. And then by Sunday, I'll be like, oh, I got to take care of that. And next thing I know, I'm like double dipping on the thing that I already did. So yeah, it's frustrating because I find myself sometimes just repeating the same things over and over because my act of impulsivity is like, but I got to take care of this now. So it's just done. It's out of my headspace. It's not even going to have a ruminating thought to move on with my day. And I know that I'll forget to cancel political campaigns on Sunday unless I write myself a note. But then if I write myself a note and put it in my Sunday basket, I might not even remember what that note pertains to because it happened maybe on that Monday of, you know, 6 days prior. So it's like, how do we keep our thoughts organized and managed? Because sometimes the things that we think are important are not. And I think I personally run through like is it important? Is it urgent? Or is it necessary? And I have a little filtration that I have to run it through. I'll look at it and be like, yeah, it's important because it's annoying, but is it a necessity? No. Mm-hmm. Because if I got another one next week, it's not going to change anything of my workload. It's not going to affect how I manage my house. It's just annoying, right?
Yes.
So we think exactly. It's annoying.
It's such a great example because I'm registered to a party. So I think it's ridiculous that they're sending me anything because I pretty much know how I'm going to vote. Undecided, I understand. Also, I get so mad because I'm like, do you know how much money this is? I'm so tired of the waste of money and everything. And politics could be so much more efficient. Mm-hmm. But I only get mad for 5 minutes every Sunday. It's every day because I just keep throwing it on the thing. And I don't have research to back this up. I'm getting a PhD now. So now I'm like, oh, I have to be able to back up everything I say. But what I have observed and what I have heard from other ADHD experts is this. ADHD sometimes will show up for women in middle age because they lose the structure of their kids' school. Mm. So structure reduces ADHD symptoms, I guess. And so when you're in school, sometimes it's not good because you have ADHD, but sometimes the structure of school or the structure of working in an office or the structure of a kid's school schedule will keep you going.
But when you retire, or when you're an entrepreneur, or when the kids leave home, all of a sudden you have to make your own structure and you don't know how to make your own structure. So these organized 365 systems kind of make structure. That's one. Number two, we have to make visible the invisible cognitive load and our workload. And how I do that is, you know, I carry around little index cards everywhere. I have them in my purse, my car, like I have them everywhere. And also index cards, not post-it notes. We want index cards, little pieces of paper. One thought per card. So as you have a thought, you write it down completely enough that you'll know what it says on Sunday. It doesn't have to be complete sentences. We're not getting graded. But like, I mean, I write down probably 30 cards a day. But what happens is I am always present. So I was listening to a mindfulness person at a conference. I was like, I'm like this all the time, where you're fully present and engaged. You don't have any wandering thoughts. You're not like, oh, I wonder why. Never. I don't have any wandering thoughts anymore. Because if I have a thought, I know it's so weird until you experience it. And then you're like, oh, Lisa's right. You write down the thought and then you look at it and you say, okay, do I need this at all? Because sometimes you're like, this is ridiculous. I'm not doing it. Sometimes you'll say, oh yeah, this can wait till Sunday. You just throw it in there. When you first do this, you'll write it down more than once, which is funny. As you get disciplined at just having your brain is allowed to have every thought that it wants to have. Your only job is to write it down. And then once you write it down, now or Sunday, that's it. Those are the only things you have to do. Once you do this for 2 or 3 weeks, your brain is like, great, I have this thought, this thought, this thought. And you just write them down and you deal with it on Sunday. And all of a sudden, you have so much more cognitive capacity because you're not trying to hold it in your head ever. Like, I will think about something while I'm curling my hair that I need to do downstairs. I have this right by there. I write it down. I keep curling my hair, thinking about podcasts, blah, blah, blah. Look at the paper. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have to remember by lunch. Like, and then I'll grab my lunch and get in the car. So I don't make my brain remember anything. I just use my brain for thinking.
Yes, that sounds so freeing. It brought me back to a thought that I had. Because I'm finding, like, because I had a thought and then you lose the thought, but now you brought it.
Right.
I remember I was in a class one time and they were talking about a mindfulness. Now you brought up the mindfulness. And it was early on when I finally understood what meditation was and mindfulness, because I didn't understand what meditation was, because as an ADHDer, I mean, holding half a second is like the most painful thing you can do, because we have a million thoughts that are coming through our heads. And she said, we only focus on one thing. And I was like, tell that to my brain. So she said, we are just going to have one thought. She was just reading a parable. And so as you're listening to the story, you can't really have the thought seep in because you're focused on what she's saying. And then when she would have this lull, I was thinking about the story. How did it apply to my life? And all of a sudden now I had memories floating through my own thoughts. And she had said at the beginning of this practice, your thoughts will come in waves and in flow. Everything that passes through, like watching the clouds as a child, you just watch them pass by. Now, every thought needs to be immediately acted on. And so now you're disciplining your thoughts and your mind, saying, oh, that was a pretty cloud or a pretty thought, or that one was obnoxious and obtrusive. But that's all you're doing. You're just observing. You are not acting. You're not responding. And when she put it in that perspective, I was like, wow, I've never had somebody paint it that way in such clarity that I could visually see the thoughts as they were passing by. And now I could say, that's a great thought. I'm going to compartmentalize it for after this class so that I can go address it later. And so it just kind of taught me a different way to see the internal, because our mind space is so chaotic at times. And especially when we are overstimulated, overwhelmed, don't really have an operating system, when something happens that just, you know, feels like a wrench was thrown into our cognitive wheels. So how can we combat those things? And so it was a great tool and a great example that I kind of have taken with me over these years. Now, again, sometimes I have to remind myself to go back to that, but just sharing it for our listeners in case this tidbit helps with anything that you're going through. And of course, what Lisa's sharing is just really blowing my mind here. So this is awesome.
Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like a practical application of exactly that. Like, I literally let my brain think anything it wants. I mean, sometimes I think something and go, no, I'm not writing that down. But a lot of times I'm like, oh, do I want to take the team to an amusement park? Is there a private amusement park around here? And you know what? There was. And we did. But it was like a Tuesday night at 7. I wrote that down and we did it 2 years later. Like, I just write down anything. And then it's where does it get sorted later? And it's not in my brain. We try to use our brain for so many things. Our brain can only remember like 3 to 8 things at a time.
Like, how much are you cramming up there? And your brain is for making synergies, thinking about future thoughts, connecting with people. It's not for to-do list remembering. So when you're saying that meditation practice, yes, if I'm in a meeting and I have a thought about like, oh, I should do something in another meeting, I write it down and I'm right back in that meeting again. And so I'm always present where I am because I'm not trying to be like, oh, at the end of this meeting, I have to remember to call blah, blah, blah. I just write down call blah, blah, blah. And then I look at the notes when I'm done with the meeting.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking. I'm jotting down my notes. And it's
but
something
in everything.
I have
everything.
Notebooks, post-its. I know you're not a fan of post-its. Can you tell me why?
Yes, because they stick to things. So if you have, I mean, if you have a post-it note, actually, that only sticks to something and then you never see it again. Whereas index cards, it's really easy to just toss them around and be like, okay, this is money. This is errands. This is kids. This is whatever. Okay, now I'm going to pick up all the money. Okay, now go through all the money. So I'm batching my thoughts by Sunday and then by task. A Sunday basket walks you through in kindergarten fashion how you run your household on Sunday and make the majority of your decisions. And then you plan out your week and then you run your plan. And everything that comes Monday through Saturday that is not already in your plan has to go into the hopper on Sunday to see if maybe it gets its chance to be on the plan next week. And your kids and your family and everyone will realize this.
Yes, I love that. And you're so right about the post-its. I grabbed my post-it note earlier today and I saw a post-it on the back of the post-it note and I'm reading this song.
I don't even know what this means. I miss a great influx, not in Sunday baskets.
Oh my gosh. I'm digging the whole Sunday basket thing because it really does give you that time. Like you said, it's about batching so that you have set days that you do X, Y, and Z so that you're focused and dedicated to heavy lifting and heavy loads, which is primarily the work. So whether it's housework or our occupational work, we have to take care of that. And so being fully present in those areas. So now it's like, okay, the household things or getting back to that thing or addressing the bills or the mail or whatever that is doesn't intrude because we know we've already that Sunday. I really love this conversation because it's helping me see things more clearly as well. And I'm hoping those that are listening also, you're taking some tidbits here. And as Lisa said, this isn't just about somebody who has an ADHD brain. It's about having those systems and organizational ways to carry on your day so that you're not easily disrupted and you have that flow. So, I mean, we all have similar brains where we have to go through the processes, but obviously ours gets a little bit stuck in the cogging wheel there. So I know that with your books, you have a few books, actually. So I'd love for you to kind of share a little bit more about the books and some of the tips and strategies that are in each of them so that our listeners are like, that's the book for me. I have to pick up a copy as well.
Sure. So most of my newer ideas are on the podcast. It's called Organize 365. My books are a little bit older. My traditionally published book is called The Paper Solution, and you can do the Sunday basket and all of the binders. I tell you how to do them in there, and you can like make them on your own as opposed to buying the Organize 365 one that came out in 2020. And then I have three self-published books. The first one's called The Mindset of Organization. And that one kind of walks through how organization is different in 20-year increments. So for childhood, which is I call 20 to 30s, accumulation is the answer to everything is to go to Home Depot. Because every time you go to do anything in your 20s and 30s, you own nothing. So any project requires going to the store, which leads to survival in 40s and early 50s, because now you're used to going to the store every time you have an idea, but you have 14 hammers. You just don't know where any of them are. So you actually need to declutter and reduce what you have. And you spend the majority of those years in your car, driving, taking care of children if you've had them, but also aging parents and grandparents. And you usually tend to become the head of the household, your extended household in that time period. And then the next couple of decades is downsizing and legacy, deciding what you want to take with you in your later years. And, you know, what's your next act? What's your next thing going to be? The other book is How Does ADHD Affect Home Organization? I mentioned there are 8 executive functions, 6 of them. I break down the executive function, what it is, how I see it manifest as disorganization in the house, and practical strategies for supporting that. So like an example would be flexible thinking as an executive function. Flexible thinking is being able to see things differently than how you saw them growing up. So like your kitchen is probably organized how your parents organized it. But when I had young children, I created a lunch packing station because I looked around and I had opened up almost every cabinet in order to pack lunches. So that's an idea of flexible thinking. And then the last book is called Organization is a Learnable Skill.
published in 2021. And that is my story of 2012, how I got myself organized in those 12 months and went from disorganized at 39 to organized at 41 and started the company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. You have something for everybody there. That I love that. But it's great because you're going through different stages and different, you find as you're going through your own experiences, you're pulling the lessons from that and saying, well, if I had to go through this, clearly there's got to be at least one other person out there. So I love that you're creating these systems for your own personal need. And now you get to share that with the world. And obviously Organize 365 is it's not just about the home and just those little tips. It's about organizing mm-hmm. for your entire life. So several years ago, I put on this journal I was jotting and I said, I allowed myself to daydream. And I remember a question at the time was like, if time and money were not an issue, what would you do? I said, I would have a lifestyle organizer and manager of my life. I just want somebody to come and organize all of that so that I just show up. And that's exactly what you're teaching in the works that you do, is that you're not spending the time thinking about your clothes. You're not spending time thinking about the decisions right. because our brains are so maxed that we have to prioritize our highest and best use of our brain and our power and our time.
Yes.
So when we get caught up in decision making and things like that, can we just spend like a moment here? Because it's probably something I had struggled with until I just said, it does not matter. And it was about picking clothes. And when you had said something yes. about buying the same thing over and over again. Now, my husband and I just recently downsized as well. And we got rid of so much stuff. And it was just amazing to see like how many of the same white t-shirts or very similar that I had. And it got me thinking, because now that I'm aware that I have ADHD, in my patterns growing up, I didn't see that. But I would buy a white t-shirt. I'd wear it a few times and it would get lost in the mix of clothing and laundry and whatnot. And then when I was searching for it, I was like, how do I not have a white t-shirt? I found 12 when I moved. I said, how is this even possible? So it's because we're constantly just putting things and we don't have that system, but then we can't recall that if we did or didn't. So when it comes to women and our outfits, and I think for me, I'm just the most basic, minimalistic, like black, white, gray, splash of pink. So my brand colors, because anything else would be such a catastrophe in my brain. Like, how do we dress? How do we accessorize? How do we? And I found myself just going off on these spaces. And when I would put the clothes on together, I didn't feel externally how I envisioned it because of the frustrations of trying to find the pieces and making it happen, that it didn't translate into how the expectation of what I wanted and feel like.
Well, and I think too, the expectation in the media and Instagram and Facebook is, here are all these clothing options. Here are all these food options. Here are all these exercise options. Here are all these ways you could do your money. Here are all these ways you could decorate your house. And so we as good students are like, okay, I have to have a great wardrobe, a great meal plan, a great this. Like, I don't cook, number one. Throw that one out. I don't do exercise either. You're lucky if I get my steps. Throw that one out. And so what I try to say is, yes, you need to be functionally organized. I am not your Pinterest person. I like a rainbow, but I don't teach you how to do it. I'm only for functional organizing. And your organizing only has to be as organized as you need it for each category. So you should have a capsule wardrobe. Move on with your life. But you may be really into fitness. So you may have a home gym and a gym membership and like all these other things. And so you should have all of those things. So the things that you love, have everything you want of those things. Everything else, be minimalist and just have functionally what you actually need. Because here's the thing. Nobody's coming to your house. So we're only really doing it for us. So you're just trying to impress yourself. Save your time. Go do something you want to do. We're consumerism country. I mean, we're being sold to all the time. So you're like, oh yeah, I see it. So it looks good. So I must need it. No, you don't. You don't. Buy what you want to buy, but don't do it because you have to hit an A+ in all these categories. Mm. Nobody's grading you. Nobody's coming over. No one's judging. So stop doing something for people who aren't even coming.
Right. And it's so true. Because I've just realized, you know, as you get older, I mean, it's just, you just care less and less about thin stuff. It's just clutter. It's just noise in your brain because, like I said, when you got to sort through closets and baskets and dryers and all the things just to find a white t-shirt, you know, that's just wasted time and space. This conversation has been incredible. It's a lot of eye openers for me as well, but also kind of validating because it's like, ooh, I feel seen.
That's good.
Yeah. So I just want to thank you for that. As we start to wrap up today's conversation, I would love for you to share anything that we haven't yet talked about or something that you feel would be valuable for our listeners to take away.
Well, I'm a lot, as you said.
I am an analytical lifelong learner. I told you I'm getting my PhD. I've been running this company for almost 13 years. I'm in my 50s and I've decided I'm going to work till I'm 80. If Martha Stewart's 80, I can work till I'm 80. People could hire a professional organizer. If you can afford it, definitely do it. But most people can't. And so this should not be something that is limited to people who can afford to hire a professional organizer. Everyone needs household management skills. And so I'm just going to continue to create more podcast episodes, more books, and iterate on the products that we have, the needs of more and more people.
I love it. Yes. I mean, that's so true. It's like you're that lifelong learner. And I think this is also something for our listeners to take away too, is, you know, when you find something that you're passionate about or something that is life-changing for you, you go all in on that because one, you need it, but then you're so passionate about it. You're like, I got to help so many other people that are out there struggling like I am. And so your commitment to this work isn't just from a place of business or financial security or things like that. You're in a place of, I have to, because this is part of my structure. This is part of my system. This is part of my operations. And so without it, as Lisa had shared earlier, sometimes it feels like the legs have been kicked out from underneath our stool because we don't have that structure. And especially as we go through different changes and transitions of life, those pillars that were once there to support may not be there anymore. But if we can create a support system from an internal to an external translation, then we can have those tools, tips, and strategies that Lisa's greatly just shared with us so many. And of course, I mean, through the works, her books, her podcasts, her company, the team, everything that she does is created with such love, intention behind all of those things because she so needed it. And so obviously this is your gift to give back to the world, which I absolutely love. So when you see her working at 80, she isn't working by say, she is just pursuing that passion with intentionality and purpose. This is living for her.
So yes, thank you.
So of course, I mean, how can people find you, follow along, connect with you, all those things?
Yeah, Organize365. I'm active on Instagram. I'm Lisa Woodruff on LinkedIn. And then the podcast and the website are Organize365.
Awesome. So, of course, all of that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to give Lisa a follow. And if this episode resonates, be sure to reach out to her. Let her know. Yeah. And, you know, as she shared today on today's episode, she's pretty much open to hearing what you have to say. And again, yep, share this episode with somebody else who can use this value that Lisa has provided.
Thanks, Rachel.
Hey there, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.